I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn to Exodus chapter 10, 11, and 12. No, we're not going to read all of that. Exodus 10, 11, and 12. I think about this hour in which we're living, and I know that there would be some in the church that don't follow things in the world perhaps in the same way that we do, or maybe not as closely. And when you have a word of reality, they consider it a word that's negative. And for us, it's not a negative word when we know that our God is in control. Amen?
Amen.
He is in control, and all things are working according to a perfect plan that He has. And things that we have thought and we have seen in the Word our entire lifetimes, even in the last 6 months, have just fallen right into place in ways that are astounding. We look at the world around us and we see that even our own nation, and we don't put our hope in our nation, do we?
No.
We are of another kingdom.
Amen.
But we treasure our nation because it was given to us by the Lord.
Amen.
It was founded upon principles that are found in the Word of God.
Amen.
And it was a light to the world, and more missionaries have been sent into the world by America than any other nation. And it has been a beacon of hope and freedom.
Yes.
But in the last few months we have seen, and I'm not being dramatic, if you study, you know. And it's easily proven. We are not the country you grew up in anymore. We have lost ground tremendously in recent months. Things have fallen into place for the globalist world order that we have known about all of our lives and studied and read would come. It's like a giant ball rolling and gathering traction and steam and momentum as it moves. And even when God does some things to temporarily slow it down for our benefit, overall it just keeps rolling and gathering steam. And we find that there are things that are going to be much different for us probably in the very near future. For some, that causes great, great dismay and concern. And I think that it's time that while we are concerned, you know, here's the thing. We know that God's word is true. And we know that He has promised that certain things will take place. And we say, well, you know, it's just fulfilling prophecy. But we don't ever take delight in suffering.
No.
We don't take delight in the suffering that will come upon many people because of the things which are falling into place. We don't take delight of the loss of freedoms and the loss of many of the Christian privileges that we have had as a nation. But nevertheless, there is something that we have to do in this final hour. Something that we have to stand upon, and I believe that there's a picture, and I have preached on it before, but I'm going a little different direction this morning. I'm going to take you back to Egypt during the time of the children of Israel being delivered from bondage. And there is a picture that is given for us. I believe that it is a prototype that is given for the last hour. I have believed this for many years. Preached it many times. I believe that we are like the people in Goshen. The Israelites, when they were living in Goshen, they were kept in protected space. They had light when all of Egypt fell under darkness, under the one of the plagues that fell upon Egypt, and the other plagues that came did not touch the Israelites because they were in a protected place by God. Sometimes we get bent out of shape about the timing of the rapture and when this will happen and that will happen. And I believe we miss the big picture. We miss the things that God wants to teach us. And He wants to show us that He is able to keep us no matter where we are. He is able to keep His people and to save them and to deliver them. And not only to do it, but to do it like He does things in the Word of God with a mighty display of His power.
Amen.
He is able to do it well. And He's going to make a distinction between His people and the people of the world. This
yes.
is very clear in the Word of God. I want you to see this morning that we are, if nothing else, what is the hallmark of the Christian? We are people of faith. Amen. Faith. We don't live by human reason. We don't live by what our own conjecture can manipulate and discover. We don't live according to the facts of man. We live according to the immutable truths of the Word of God, which cannot be changed. And even when they look foolish in the eyes of man, we stand upon the Word of God, and God honors it in our lives. There is a time now that we are entering into when there should be this distinction between us and the people of the world. And I'll get to the Word in just a moment, but I'm trying to lay a foundation here, because all of us, every one of us, if we're honest, we are, we say we're Spirit-filled Christians. Of course we believe in faith. How many times does our faith, and I'm going to use this word seem very, very specifically. How many times, and we wouldn't say it this way because we know it's not so, but how many times does our faith seem to not work? How many times do we pray or we ask for something and we stand in faith? We don't understand why we didn't see it answered then. Now, if you're new, if you're listening to me here or on live stream, and you say, well, yeah, Christians just believe stuff and it doesn't work because it's not true. Oh, no, we have enough faith. We have enough experience with the Lord under our belt and enough truth in the Word of God. We have experienced His power, His truth, answered prayer, miracles. We have seen these things many Amen. Times in our lives.
Amen.
And it does not shake us.
Amen.
It is our own frailty, and it is that we live in a fallen world, whereas the Word of God says the Lord has not yet, all things have not yet fully been placed under His feet. There are opposing forces. There are enemy plans and forces, and we're in a warfare. And sometimes we forget that it's a warfare. And then when we are in a warfare, we have to stand in faith. And sometimes, beloved, I'm wanting to encourage you this morning, sometimes the object of your desire is not manifest immediately. Sometimes, though there's a promise in the Word of God, sometimes there's a time span between ask what you will and it shall be done for you.
That's right.
Sometimes the prayer for healing takes time to manifest. Yes. Jesus healed some instantly. He healed some as they went their way, they were healed.
Yes.
Over time. Everything is not magic, instant pudding Christianity. That's not what we have. We have faith, and the Bible speaks of it as a struggle. There's a struggle. We live in a fallen world. We have an enemy that withstands us and battles against us. And so often we don't even want to look at that aspect and to know that there's a fight that we have to fight. We fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says. There's a warfare. But in this passage today, there's a door. There's a door, and there's blood on that door. And it makes all of the difference for those who are inside the house, those who are outside. And it is an emblem of faith that we stand upon.
Amen.
No matter what we see happening around us.
Amen.
No matter what you see in the weeks ahead in your country, you have every reason to rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
You have every reason to look up. Jesus said, when you see these things, He gave us signs to look for. And He said, when you see these things, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draws near.
Amen.
We have hope as Christians. We have
Amen.
We have a bedrock of faith
yes,
to
do.
Stand on. And we should not be shaken, and we should not be discouraged. I know many of us, perhaps you've been dismayed at what you've seen, and yet we've known it was coming. It's nothing that has shaken us or taken us by surprise. You see, I'm trying to avoid naming specific things in current events today. This is not a current event sermon. This is a faith sermon.
Amen.
You already know what the current events are. And if you're a Christian and you're looking with spiritual eyes, you know what the enemy has done.
Yes.
Right.
And you know where we are. And you know that things are not going to be easy.
Right.
Faith does not promise us an easy road. But faith promises us this great, great deliverance that you will see.
Amen.
In Exodus chapter 10, 12, 11 and 12, the three passages that I want to read that set a picture, a setting for us. In Exodus chapter 10, beginning in verse 21, this is the last plague before the Passover, before the death of the firstborn. It's the ninth plague when darkness, God sends darkness upon Egypt. Remember that in the Word of God, in all of these things, Egypt is a type and shadow. It's a foreshadowing. Egypt is a symbolic emblem of spiritual darkness, of bondage, sin, and Satan. Pharaoh is a picture of Satan. Darkness falls upon this land. You've got to keep this in mind before I read. What Egypt already is dark spiritually.
Yes.
Listen to me. What the world is already dark spiritually.
Yes.
Sometimes we want to look for good in it. There is no good in it except where Christ is reigning.
Amen.
And so Egypt is a picture of that which is already dark. And when God sends this darkness, it's a darkness that is exponentially darker than anything they've ever known. It is so dark they cannot see their hands in front of their faces. If they light a candle, they can't see the light from it. It's a supernatural darkness. And it's a picture of the darkness over this world. The blindness over the eyes of unbelievers. It's a picture of darkness and of sin. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. Darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. Now listen to this important statement. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings.
Amen.
The Israelites lived in a district called Goshen. Goshen, and when the plagues fell upon Egypt, their cattle didn't die. Their livestock didn't die. They didn't get boils, sores upon their bodies. When it fell upon the Egyptians, when darkness fell upon all of Egypt, this is so supernatural that, you can't even show it in a movie. There's no way to show it. Because to show it, you would have to have light. And you can't depict it unless you can show darkness that you've never seen before. It's so dark. And so here is this darkness over all of Egypt is so dark that the Egyptians are stumbling around. They can't get a glimpse of light for anything. But right there in their midst, in Goshen, these people have lamps in their houses. The lights are burning. It's a picture of the spiritual reality of the last days when this world grows darker and darker. When the restrainer is removed, when that which holds back evil is being removed, and there is darkness, spiritual darkness over all of the world, and the eyes of man are blinded, and it speaks of the realities of how they will hate God, and they will hate Christians, and they will turn against everything that is righteous. But where the believer is, there is light.
Amen.
There's light. There's an abundance of faith and truth. And there's the peace that Brother Darrell talked about in the praise and worship service. There's a peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
A bedrock of peace that keeps the believer. Right now, see, you need to be pursuing, the New Testament speaks of this. Pursue peace. Pursue peace. Everything in your life should be built upon peace with God right now. If there's anything that causes you to not have perfect peace with God, it needs to be dealt with. Because it's just only going to be magnified when things are worse around you. If you don't have peace with God, you're not going to have peace at all. Everything is going to be magnified. So darkness is so great that they can't even see around them. And yet the Israelites' homes are filled with light. It's just a picture of the goodness of the Lord to His people. So there's light in Goshen. This is important as we go with the flow of this story. In the end times, there's a darkness that's so dark, and it only gets worse. But the light of God is in His people. It can't be put out. And we need to pursue that. In chapter 11, and the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Then Moses said, Thus says the Lord, About midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know, listen and underline this statement, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Can I just say something to you here in a... just interjecting something. We are called to love the people of this world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are His agents of redemption. We are to love the people around us. We are to display that love whenever it is possible. That never ever means that we are to agree with them. That never means that we are to pat them on the back and say, hey, you're okay just like you are. That never means that we are not to point out truth. Never means that we are not to confront evil or sin. It never means that we are to make allowances and excuses for sin. Never means that we are to compromise in our own hearts and embrace things in other people because we're to be loving. It never means that we're supposed to accept the sinful lifestyle of other people and say, well, that's what it means for us to be loving, is to accept them. No, we accept them, not the sinful lifestyle. Notice here that God makes a distinction. If God, let me ask you this, if God makes a distinction between the Egyptians and Israel, if God makes a distinction between you and the unbeliever, shouldn't you do what God does? Should you not also be able to see and make a distinction? Are we having trouble with this? You certainly got quiet. If God makes a distinction between His people and the people of the world, who are we to stand in His way or to disagree with God? We are to agree with Him. It does not mean that we do not love. We would lay down our lives if God says to, for whatever, in whatever way we could, to bring someone into that right relationship with the Lord. But God makes a distinction. I want to read this sentence again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. You need to wrap your head around this. In the last days, His church is to be so different from the world. And if you can't handle that, it's going to be very hard for you.
That's right.
If you think, let me just say it this way, you need a wake-up call. If you think that you're going to fit in with the world in this last hour and be a Christian, you are wrong. You will not fit in. If you are true to Christ, there will be as much difference between you and those in the world as there is between a cow and a bug. You're not the same species. You've been born again, and there's a distinction.
Amen.
And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out. And all the people who follow you, after that I will go out. Then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. But the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Chapter 12. What I want you to see is that in the first passage we read, there was light where the people of God were. In the second passage that we read, there was a distinction. And not only a distinction, but there was a promise of a great deliverance. And then the third passage that we're going to read in chapter 12, verse 21 through 28, there's a provision of faith. There's an emblem. There's a touch point, if you will. There's a place for your faith to be anchored. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. Now we know the rest of the story is that the people did just as Moses had said. And when the death angel, the destroyer, passed over, if there was blood on the lintel, that's the cross piece at the top, and the two doorposts. And if you've ever seen, and I know this is elementary for some of you, but this was a very, very pointed and real foreshadowing of the cross of Calvary. Jesus is our Passover lamb. The blood was sprinkled at the top and the two sides, forming the points of the cross, and it dripped to the bottom exactly as it did beneath the cross of Jesus Christ. It's a picture, it's an emblem of the cross of Christ, and we'll see that doorway emblem in just a moment. Very briefly, again, I'm recapping as I go for a reason. There was light in Goshen. Light represents revelation, guidance, the presence of God, the Word of God. The Bible says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Not just talking about the written Word of God, but the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, what? That proceeds from the mouth of God. That means the Word you hear. The Word that you hear given to your heart. Man lives by the Word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In Goshen, there was light. Light represents all of that. The revelation, the word to your heart, the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In the second passage again, there was the promise of a mighty deliverance. There are three exoduses in the course of history. This is the first exodus. You know, most of you have seen the movie, you know, the Ten Commandments. And you see the exodus, that means the outgoing of the children of Israel as God delivered them from bondage in Egypt. It's all a picture in advance of the cross. And so we, as children of God, we were brought out of sin and bondage into sonship, into deliverance, into, we were brought through this great exodus out of our sins into a relationship with the Lord to be the people of God. The first exodus, Moses, is a picture of Christ. He is a deliverer. He brings the people out of bondage in Egypt to deliver them to the promised land to serve the Lord. The second exodus in the Word of God is in the book of Acts. It's not written there as such, but many have studied the book of Acts and see that God is, that the writer of the book of Acts is showing that there was a new exodus taking place. And it is the exodus that Jesus brought out of Judaism, out of the old, out of that which was dead and was bondage. You know, for the Israelites, Judaism had become a thing of bondage, legalism, rules and laws and hypocrisy. And the Lord came and he delivered. In the book of Acts is about bringing them out as they were being born again and coming out of Judaism into the kingdom of God. This great deliverance for the Israelites as well as the Gentiles who were coming to the Lord. And I say all of that to say that we stand on the brink of the great and final exodus.
Amen.
We're waiting.
Amen.
We're waiting. Our Moses is going to descend. The Bible says he will come just as he departed.
Amen.
Jesus will come. He is our, Moses was a foreshadowing of him. He will come. He will descend. He will set foot on the Mount of Olives. He is coming for his people.
Amen.
Just as surely as Moses went into Egypt to bring out the people of God.
Amen.
The Lord is not going to be satisfied until he takes his people home.
Thank you, Lord.
He's coming
yes.
for those who belong to him.
Yes.
And so there's a final exodus. Jesus again gave us signs to look for and said, lift up your head for your redemption
Amen.
Draws near. First passage, there was light in Goshen. Second passage, we have this promise of a great deliverance. And we have the distinction between the believer and the unbeliever. And in the third passage, we read about a door. The third passage, we read about a door with blood on the lintel and on the doorpost. The cross of Calvary. In the first passage, again, darkness descended over Egypt, so dark that one could not see. Israel was kept in Goshen in a place of light and protection. I am reiterating that darkness is descending. Darkness is descending. If you watch the news, and we have trimmed down our news watching just a little bit. It's only so much you can take these days. If you really watch the news, you see blindness like you've not seen.
Amen.
You see people saying things that are so hypocritical that it's unbelievable. You see people that are clamoring, saying they're for one thing and doing just the opposite. You see absolute chaos and nonsense. You see things that don't make sense at all to the human mind, to a reasonable mind even,
yes.
taking place. You see people driven by hatred and fears. And you just see all manner of things that fall right into place as shown in the Word of God. For many people, these are frightening times. I know for many Christians, and that's the reason for this message. For many Christians, these are frightening times. They are times with the temptation is to despair. There is a temptation to despair. Beloved, we're not to despair. We are not to despair. I know we went through just a little time recently where we turned the news off, but it was kind of like, whoa, 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 end of the world. You know, this is terrible. Well, it is terrible, but it's all wonderful. You say, what do you mean? It's wonderful because God's hand is in it.
That's right.
It's wonderful because he's given us eyes to see.
That's right.
It's wonderful because there's light in our houses.
That's right.
the light of revelation in His Word. It's wonderful because we're kept in Goshen. It's wonderful because God will not let a hair of our heads be touched except by His permission.
Amen.
In order to do a deeper work in us.
Amen.
Frightening times. Imagine the Israelites that night, promised, given the promise. I'm going to paraphrase it because we know it was about the blood on the doorpost. But imagine the Israelites that night. The promise to them was, if you are not right with God, the firstborn in your house will die.
Yeah.
You say, really? Yes. Because all they had to do to be right with God was put blood on the doorpost and eat the Passover meal. But it was the blood on the doorpost that God had to see.
Yeah.
And He calls us to do many, many things. But the one thing that matters is that over our lives is the appropriation of the blood of Christ.
Amen.
What do I mean by the appropriation? I mean that we look with eyes of faith, knowing that that sacrifice is sufficient.
Amen.
That's all God requires.
Amen.
To deliver us out of darkness.
Amen. Yes.
And out of the power of sin. Yes. And out of the penalty of sin.
Hallelujah.
Imagine the Israelites gathered in their houses, never seen anything like this before. What if we didn't apply the blood right? What if we didn't put enough of it on the door? As darkness comes on this earth today, those who are prepared are going to shine. Let me just say to you, because you're believers and you believe what I'm telling you right now, because you see it in the Word, not because I'm saying it. But do you, and again, it's not to be negative, but it's with great sorrow. Do you realize how much of the church world that message of the blood has been lost?
That's right.
No longer preached, no longer taught. The one thing that He says matters the most, blood on the door. There's a distinction between you and the people of the world. And it's not whether you attend church or not. It's not whether you say you believe the Word or not. It's not whether you think that your life measures up as being good or not. It's whether or not you have put your faith in the work of Calvary, the blood of Christ shed for you. That's where it lies. There's the promise of a deliverance, an exodus that is coming for us. Imagine them gathered and the world is all darkness outside. And the Word here says that God made a distinction between them. I'm just going to tell you this morning, for too long there has been little distinction between us and the world. It's time for there to be a distinction.
That's right. Amen.
They were gathered in their house and there was the distinction of having the blood on the doorpost. That was what set them apart from the Egyptians. And they gathered and they fellowshipped around the meal of the Lamb. As they ate, they feasted on the Lamb. Beloved, this is a picture of the church. I want you to examine, let the Holy Spirit examine your heart for a moment. This is not going to be a long message. Let the Lord examine your heart this morning. Where do you find your comfort and your fellowship, your friendship? Is there a distinction between your heart and those in the world? This is a picture. They are shut in their house. They are separated from the world by the blood. And they find their comfort that night with one another. The promises of the Word of God. They've sat around that table and the fathers would have told the children again, why are we even in Egypt? And they would have told them about it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Word of God, the covenants of God, the promises of God. Mm-hmm. And why God's going to deliver them from Egypt. This was everything that was life to them that night.
That's right.
And eating the lamb that was provided. our hearts love this world too much. There's not enough distinction between us and the world. And we don't find enough comfort with the people of God feasting upon God's word, celebrating the Lamb of sacrifice. We want to be enlightened. We want to be broad-minded. We want to be accepting of all things. We don't want to appear arrogant. We don't want to seem like we're exclusive, like we're right and everybody else is wrong. We don't want to seem so different. We want to blend in. We want to look tolerant. God forbid that we would seem intolerant in this age. The Lord says there's a distinction. Deliverance is a promise for us, and it's coming sooner than it was.
Amen.
And there was the door. Blood on the door and faith response. That's what it's all about. Faith. Faith. There's much of this imagery of the Word of God, of the door in the Word of God. In the tabernacle, there were three doorways. They called them gates, made from fabric. There was the initial one that entered into the courtyard, right at the altar of sacrifice where the blood was shed. And then there was the second gate that entered into the holy place, where there was the showbread, the candlestick, and the incense. And then there was the veil, the doorway that entered into the Holy of Holies. The first one was the way. It was the way because it came right to the altar of sacrifice. There are scholars that say that these were called the way, the truth, and the life. I can't find proof of that, but they do represent those things. The gate into the courtyard was the way because it initially came to the altar of sacrifice, and that's Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The way is by his cross.
Yes.
The altar of sacrifice. The truth is represented in the holy place. The second gate enters into the holy place where the light of revelation of the truth of the Word of God is represented in the golden lampstand and in the table of showbread, which represents the perfect will of God. And then the incense represents the praise and worship that goes up to God. The way, the truth. Truth is found in the holy place. But life is found in the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
In the very presence of God.
Amen.
Himself.
Amen.
Three doorways. Jesus said, I am the door.
Yes.
I am the door of the sheepfold.
Yes.
And the sheep can't come in any other way except by me. I want to encourage you here at Faith Harvest this morning. But this is a reality that the Lord has given us, that this is a time of preparation. As darkness falls all around us, it's a time given over or given to us to remember the importance of faith. Faith. Standing in faith. In other words, becoming who you say you are. Don't raise your hands, but how many of us in here would really like to envision ourselves as strong Pentecostal type Christians who walk in power and faith? It's time to be that. Faith. Childlike faith. Jesus said childlike faith. That doesn't mean that everything you ask for, you're immediately going to get and you won't have any struggles. If you did, it would become a formula. And we would think we could work God like some Word of Faith preachers. But this, as darkness falls, is a time for us to prepare. They had the provision of faith demonstrated for them in the striking of the blood upon the doorpost. That was what they had to do when it's a picture of Jesus being stricken for us on the cross of Calvary. How many of you remember this? How many of you remember? Some of you have had sickness and illness recently. Some of you struggle with many different things. And this is going to be the final part of the message. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. What does this really mean? He was wounded for our transgressions. That means he took the punishment for every sin you've committed. He was bruised for our iniquity. Iniquities are those ingrained patterns of sin in our life that are hard to overcome. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. When Satan comes and he whispers condemnation to you. And I won't ask you to raise your hands, but in your hearts, how many of you you're bound up sometimes because you're under condemnation. You never feel good enough. You feel that you've sinned and somehow you can't seem to overcome your own guilt. When Satan comes and he whispers words of condemnation to you, your words are the words of Christ. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. In other words, I'm just giving you an image to take home with you today. Or maybe a new way of saying something. I've done this many times in prayer. There is blood on my doorpost. Amen. There is blood on this doorpost.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean? That is a statement of faith, and it declares many things.
Yes.
To the enemy of my soul, when he comes with condemnation or fear or anything else, I say, whoa. This house. See here, look this way. This house. This house. There is blood over this doorpost. There's blood on this doorpost, and the enemy cannot come in here. You cannot bring destruction to me. You cannot win. You cannot take me down. You cannot cause me to turn in my thoughts against the Lord and to accuse Him of not being forgiving after He has given His life for me. There's blood on this doorpost. Get behind me, Satan. I stand in the doorway of Almighty God. I stand in the doorway of Almighty God. There's blood all over me and all around me. I stand in the doorway of Almighty God. When sickness threatens, I say to myself, I'm in the house. I'm not. When I say I'm in the doorway of Almighty God, I don't mean I've got 1 foot outside. I mean I'm inside.
Amen.
I'm under that doorway. I'm in the doorway, and there's blood upon the door of my house. I'm in the house. There's blood on the door. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Hallelujah. Amen.
How I love these images from the Word of God. He who abides, this is Goshen. This is where the presence of God is. He who abides under the secret place, or in the secret place of the Most High. For the Israelites, that was as close to the Holy of Holies as you could get, where the Shekinah glory cloud went up and formed a canopy over them. It meant to be as near the presence of God as you could be. And there's a secret place for us right here, where He dwells within us. When Satan torments you, how many of you find yourself with tormenting thoughts? When Satan torments you, say to him, there is blood on this door. There's blood on this doorpost. You have no authority over me. I believe that there's a new reality, not a new reality, but a new relearning and walking in the authority of the believer that is coming. That if we don't understand how to walk in the authority that He has given us as believers, it's going to be a lot harder. He wants us to stand in everything. How many of you came through charismatic and Pentecostal circles? How many of you have notebooks full of notes? How many of you have books and all years of learning how to stand against Satan, how to do spiritual warfare, how to stand in the authority that Christ has given you, how to walk in divine healing, how to have the power of Christ in your life, all of these things, and maybe you feel like a lot of it you just kind of failed at. It's time to, not necessarily the books, but spiritually, dust all of that stuff off, because it's for this hour of your life.
That's right.
It's real.
Amen.
Just because we've had some failures This is what I'm wanting you to see this morning. Heaven and earth may pass away, Jesus said, but my words abide forever.
Amen.
Those words are true. Amen. Everything you've ever learned, and I'm not saying if you were under a false teacher, but everything you've ever learned that was good and true from the Word of God, every promise of Christ stands.
Amen.
And it has always stood.
Amen.
But how much more does it have to be proven in our lives if we're in a final hour, darkness is descending, we better take it seriously.
Amen.
And learn to stand in it, walk in it, believe
Amen.
It, be childlike children of faith. Believe God when He says something. Stand upon His Word and watch Him fulfill His
Amen.
Promises in our life. Because ultimately, here is the great promise. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
Amen.
There's a great deliverance, another exodus, where He's going to take His people home.
Amen.
When thoughts of doom and calamity, disaster attack your mind, where do you get rid of those things, or do you succumb to it? You stand in faith in the Word of God and in the power of Christ. When failure, thoughts of fears of financial collapse and all kinds of disaster are looming over you, let me tell you something. I know from my own personal life, I'm not going to tell you all kind of stories, but I can tell you, Maggie and I have walked through things, many, many things. We have stood in faith and seen God do miracles.
That's right.
And we would not be here today if it weren't for His amazing keeping power.
That's right.
He has come through, if you want to use the terminology we use today. God has come through on things that would never, ever, ever have happened if we had not been believing.
That's right.
Contrary to what anybody else would have said, believing something that we knew He had spoken to us.
Amen.
Are there things we've not seen happen? Yeah, we've been praying some things 30 years and we're still waiting. That doesn't change the reality of God.
Amen.
Doesn't make Him a liar because it hasn't happened yet. Just means we're waiting on His perfect timing.
Amen. That's right.
His Word is true. He's never failed us.
That's right.
I've seen Him bring financial deliverance when we didn't deserve it. Can I just, maybe somebody needs to hear this morning.
That's right.
We weren't deserving of it. We weren't great managers of our money. We hadn't done everything right, but we were in a time of calamity, a disaster, and we stood upon the Word of God. And we believed God, and God provided for us.
Right.
He's provided numerous times for us when we didn't deserve it.
Yes.
But we're His children.
Yes.
He's a good Father.
Yes.
That's right.
I can testify to you over and over and over again. He has healed. He has delivered us from things, and He has caused us to walk through some hard things. Because a good father does that sometimes too.
Yes.
And in all of it, we maintain this imagery. There's blood on this doorpost.
Hallelujah.
When we look from our vantage point and we look out, it's through that. It's through that veil of the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ sustains us, keeps
Amen.
Us. Preserves us, cleanses us from all sin, delivers us from any power that Satan would have over us. Because you have, see, the Israelites, when it comes down to it, that night, they had a word from God. And I can't stress to you enough how important it is that you have a word from God. And by that I mean a living word. Word where you've studied, you've read, and God has impressed something upon your heart for now. A now word. Word for what you need in this hour. A word that will see you through the times that are coming. The Israelites had God's word to stand on when fear struck during that long, dark night. When they heard the sounds of the Egyptians, can you imagine? I don't know what it's going to be like for us. Can you imagine the Israelites shut in their homes that night? They could hear wailing and weeping from all over the land of Egypt, because in every house, a firstborn had died. I can't even imagine what a horrible night it was. But they knew that God's word held them secure. Yes. And I want to leave you with this thought. I want you to think about this. The same word that promised judgment to the Egyptians promised deliverance for Israel.
Yes.
What does that mean for us? The same word, you know, many of you don't like to hear anybody talk about judgment. I just don't like to talk about judgment. You know, that's harsh, those things. I don't want to think about that. Don't want to talk about that. The same word of God that has promised judgment is the same word that gives you a door with blood on it and deliverance.
Amen. Amen.
You don't get to take half of it.
That's right.
The same word that says darkness is descending, and that it's going, the love of many is going to grow cold, and that they're going to turn against every believer, and all of these things that you don't want to hear, the same word from God promises you victory, promises you keeping power,
Amen.
Promises you that His blood is sufficient,
yes.
Promises you that you'll be kept distinct from the people of this world, promises you that you'll be part of that great, great deliverance out of here, promises that the power of God will be upon your life, promises that you will have power to stand like you've never had before, promises that God will be with you.
Thank you, Lord.
In the darkness.
Yes.
Praise God for His word.
Praise God.
I just wanted to encourage you today with that. I believe that it's what the Lord gave me for today. You need to see darkness is descending, but you need to see there's got to be a distinction between you and the world, and there is going to be a great, great deliverance God has promised, and all of it centers around the Calvary's, the cross of Calvary, the blood on the door. You have that image. You have that promise. You have that to stand upon. Every time the enemy comes to you, there's blood on my door.
Amen.
That's all you have to say. No, no, get out of here, Satan. There's blood on my door.
Amen.
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 Let's stand.
Amen.